Hello, my friends, and welcome to this podcast on the UU Bible Studies look at Reverend Dr. Wilda C. Gaffney's A Woman's Lectionary for the Whole Year. We are looking at her book, particularly Year W, which lifts up women in some very profound ways. And here we are at Epiphany 2, and it already is profound. Can you imagine what we're going to see as the weeks go on? So thank you so much for joining us on this journey. I am Dr. Michelle Townsend Grove, and I am a Unitarian Universalist religious educator who enjoys the study of these stories. And I am here with my colleague, dear friend, and an amazing theologian in his own right, Reverend Samuel Felderman. So it's good for us to be together with you. We are going to start Epiphany 2, which is a great season after Christmas. We're kind of in between that time of Christmas going into Lent, where we are celebrating the church in profound ways. If you remember, Epiphany starts with the visit of the wise men. And so now we are in that time of celebration. And Dr. Gaffney, once again, has outdone herself. It's an amazing look at some scriptures. And now as we get into the Jewish scriptures for Epiphany 2, I invite Samuel to read from Dr. Gaffney's translation. He will be reading from Isaiah 62, 1 to 7, and then 10 to 12.
Friends, hear these words from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For the sake of Zion, I will not keep silent, and for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not keep still, until her vindication shines out like blazing light and her salvation like a flaming torch. The nations shall see your vindication, daughter, and all the monarchs your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the living God will grant. You, daughter, shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of God Most High, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Daughter, you shall no more be called forsaken, and no more shall your land be called devastated. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For as a young man marries a virgin girl, so shall your builder marry your daughter. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Upon your walls, daughter Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels. All the day and all the night they shall never be silent. You who remind the God who sees, take no rest for yourselves and give God no rest until God establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned among the earth. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, throw away the loose stones, lift up a banner over the peoples. Look, the God who saves has made it heard to the end of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes, bringing reward and recompense first. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the God who saves, and you, daughter, shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Thus ends the reading. Well, Michelle, these are powerful words. They are powerful, bold words from the book of Isaiah. What is speaking to you in this text today? What is this stirring up for you as you've read it?
Oh, Samuel, where do you begin? You know, the emotional, the beauty of the words, the thoughts, and then intersecting that with what we already know and don't know is just fascinating. You know, I think the place for me is to begin, like I usually do, and looking at the broad picture and the context, and just making sure that we know where this is. And not just in the history of Isaiah, but also understanding in our own reading. For last week, when we did our podcast on Epiphany 1, we read from a different part of Isaiah, which was when Judah, the southern kingdom, had been overtaken by the Babylonian Empire, and they were low. They were at their lowest. And here we are reading a text that Reverend Dr. Wilda C. Gaffney chose for this week and translated, which is then from the Isaiah of about 50 years later, when Persia has now overtaken the southern kingdom, and King Cyrus, who is seen, sometimes even called the Messiah, is actually bringing the people back together. Those that were sent out of the land of Judah into foreign lands are now being brought back. The temple that was destroyed is now being rebuilt, and there is hope. So I think hearing those words, understanding that history, is really important. It's also important to know that one can read the history along with the prophetic word. So for example, when you're reading Isaiah, you can see the history in 2 Kings of the different things that are happening to the northern southern kingdom and the different kings, the different decisions they're making, and what is happening as they're being overtaken. This time now, though, with Isaiah and speaking profoundly about this new time with Persia, you can look to the book of Ezra. For chapters 1 to 6 in Ezra, you can see the work of King Cyrus, and then particularly the rebuilding of the temple, you can see in chapters 1 and 3. So we encourage you to read along both the historical while you're hearing the prophetic, because both of them come together nicely. So there's so much more I could say, but I feel like I should stop there because it's so rich. And ask that dangerous question, what about you, Samuel? What's coming up for you?
Well, and you know, and we've been talking about this. First of all, thank you for that beautiful introduction, because we've been doing this really since we've entered the prophets. We're now 3 weeks in with the prophets. And It was true of the last two readings, and it's true today. There is this contextual, historical reality of what's happening here. But there is also this beautiful universal language, this universal hymn that we can draw on, that this is a specific text for a specific time and place. But there's also this beautiful universal narrative of it. I love how this reading begins. For the sake of Zion, I will not keep silent. And for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not keep still. And then later into verse 6, the prophet goes on and says, upon the walls, daughter Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels all the day and all the night. They will not be silent. O you who remind the God who sees, take no rest for yourself and give God no rest until God establishes Jerusalem. I love this call. This is a summons. You know, we talked about last week about the voices rising up from the ruins of Jerusalem, and how restoration is not just something that happens overnight. It's not something that just sort of falls upon us. It's something that we participate in. And here is this bold invitation from the prophet. Day and night, give God no rest. Rise up, and pray and work and preach and protest and stand and shake the heavens until the wholeness comes, until the restoration comes. We are invited to boldly participate in the restoration of the world, of this bringing about of this wholeness, of becoming this city not forsaken. What a beautiful, what a beautiful phrase to use. We are called to participate in becoming the city not forsaken. And in verse 10, they go on, you know, the prophet goes on, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, lift up the banner over the peoples. Friends, this is a call for us today to not stop the work. Isaiah's vision is of a restoration that is brought forth because the people have risen up and given God no rest until it is fulfilled. And I think there's so much hope and so much truth in this that we can, this imagery of the ruins being ruins, but the people rising up towards restoration is so profound in our world today. It's easy to look around and go, this is a lot, right? It's easy to look around and go, how can my vote, how can my voice, how can my actions make a difference?
Nice.
And Isaiah, who's writing thousands of years before today, is saying your voice matters. Call out day and night. Give God no rest until you get what you're asking for. Don't stop. The restoration is coming. We will be a city not forsaken. But that will only happen if we have the courage to continue to call out and do the work that needs to be done.
And on that, I'll tell you, Samuel, and when you were reading this earlier, there's a piece that kind of glazed over until you read it, and then all of a sudden it hit me. And that was in verse 7, where it says, and give God no rest. Yep. So this, isn't that powerful to reflect on? I mean, it's not just about us working. It's about us constantly almost saying, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God, we need you. We need you. We have hope in you. You know, stay with us. You know, it's that I almost felt a poking, you know, yeah. That was there. I mean, is that fair? And it was just beautiful to think about that.
Take no rest for yourselves and give God no rest until God restores and establishes Jerusalem. It's this, I think that poking metaphor, that poking image is so good. But what we're saying is we're doing our part. We are building up the highway. We are throwing away the loose stones. We are getting everything ready. We're lifting up that banner. We are here doing our part. Where are you? And when are you going to come down here and do yours? And it's this dynamic interchange between humanity and the divine and calling out. And Isaiah is inviting us to stand up and say, this isn't good enough. This isn't working. The ruins are in ruins. Get down here and help us make it better. Help us become sought out, a city not forsaken. Prove to us that you are the God who hears.
Nice.
by helping us bring the restoration, bring the wholeness that we are working towards. Our individual moments may not seem like we're making a big change. Even collectively, sometimes we look at each other and go, is the work that we're doing making a difference? And Isaiah is saying, our prophet today is saying, it is. It is making a difference, because not only are you changing the world around you, but you are reminding God, you are reminding the divine that they have a responsibility. If you today are feeling worn down, January has gotten to all of us, Isaiah is here to remind you that what you're doing matters, and what you do matters, and what you say and how you vote and what you proclaim to the world matters. And that is so important.
It is. And I would even say that one of the things in this is an expansive theology. Because remember, we're talking about Jerusalem, which is home not to just Judaism or Christianity, but also Islam. It's the home of three religions. So where is it that we read the prophet and also understand that this God, that is the God that Isaiah is speaking to and asking us to engage with, is the God of three religions in this one place? Where is it that our cooperation in three religions is a part of this call? And I think that's something else for us to hold and to kind of wrestle with.
Amen. And I think we can say with a lot of boldness, our psalm also speaks to this today. What yes. A beautiful psalm that we had. The earth shuddered and quaked. The foundations of the mountains trembled. Smoke went up from her nostrils and a consuming fire from her mouth. She spread out the heavens and descended, and thick darkness was under her feet. She delivered me from my strong enemies and from those who hate me. The sheltering God was my support.
Wow.
And you can hear this psalm as a response almost to the call that we have in Isaiah, that Isaiah is inviting us to call out and call out and keep poking until God listens. And Psalm 18 is this really profound image of what that looks like. Yeah. This really powerful image of what it looks like when God does come down. And I just, the beauty of our texts today are just, friends, please sit with them and enjoy them for the beauty that they are, because we are hearing a strong call today.
And in it, and one more point for everyone before we go, just to reflect on, because we'll look at this again as we look at other texts in the future. Once again, Dr. Gaffney has flipped the image of God to be feminine. And in that, it is not only appropriate, it is profound. And hopefully, I'm hoping for all of us that it's helping us to broaden our image of what the divine is and help us to see where the invisibility of women should be no more. Now, one of the complicated things in this Isaiah passage, there's a tension here, because here's this translation that is raising God as the feminine. And now also, though, there's a tension because, you know, remember how we said things are getting better? According to Isaiah, it is because the single woman is now married. The single land is now a married land. So once again, that patriarchal understanding of value of women, the value of the feminine, is that single, not valued. Married, valued. Married, bearing sons, the most valued. We haven't gotten there yet with the psalm, but that's definitely a part of it. So hold that tension as well and proclaim the feminine God with all you've got. That's my encouragement. I am so grateful to Dr. Gaffney for that gift because it's just a freeing and appropriate thing to do. And then at the same time, wrestle with that tension that comes with the status of women in the period of Isaiah was still very low. And that comes out in some of it. And how do we wrestle with that as we're reading it today? Oh, I need a deep breath. Samuel, thank you again. And to those who are listening and kind of riding this roller coaster with us, we thank you for sticking with us, for grappling with this with us, and for finding the joy. Take care until next week.